Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Ayin Zayin. We're going to begin towards the bottom of Ayin Vav Omud Beis. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas Jack Star, Yaakov ben Shlomo, and also Martha Boyorsky, Malka Bas Rav Shlomo. All the shalms we learned for should have an aliyah. Now, we were discussing various pasukim in Daniel from yesterday, so we brought down the following pasuk, which we're now going to discuss in more detail today. And the pasuk says, Vayomer Eli, Daniel is talking, and he says, Altira Daniel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Daniel, it's really the Malach that's talking to Daniel and telling Daniel, Ki min hayom harishon asher nosata es libcho lohavin ulis'anos lifnei elokecha nishmu dvarecha vani bosi bidvarecha. So this is the Malach Gavriel talking to Daniel, and he says this pasuk. What is this pasuk talking about? So that's what we're going to discuss today. And we're also going to be discussing other pasukim in Daniel, both before it and after it. So we begin in the Gemara on Ayin Vav Omud Beis, the first of the wide lines at the bottom, five lines up from the bottom, asking us, what does this pasuk mean? The end of this pasuk, Mai Vani Bosi Bidvarecha. And Gavriel tells Daniel, I came because of you, because of the words that you said. Now, what does this mean? Hainu Del Siv, this is what the pasuk means when it says, an earlier pasuk where it says, Vishivim Ish, 70 men that are Mizikne Beis Yisrael, the word Beis is supposed to be there, Mizikne Beis Yisrael, and included there as well was Viaz Noyahu Ben Shofan, that's the name of a person, Omed Besochem, he was standing in the middle of these 70 Zakenim, the Shivim Zakenim, Omdim Lifnehem, and he was standing in front, all of these people were standing in front of these idols. And what were they doing? The pasuk continues, the Ish, each one of these men, had in his hand Miktarto. Miktarto is like a incense burner. Va'atar Anan HaKtores Ole. And from this incense burner, they had the smoke of the Ktores, or the incense, going up. And furthermore, Mesoros HaShas Oschetz is the word Uksiv, and furthermore it says, another pasuk, this pasuk is found also earlier, Vayishlach, he sent out his hand, Tavnis Yad, Vayikocheni B'tzitzis Roshi. This is Daniel talking about somebody grabbed him now and brought him, they grabbed him by the hairs on his head, Vatisausi Ruach Beino Oretz Uveino Shemayim, and miraculously flew him towards Yerushalayim. Right, Yechezkel was in Bavel, and he's being flown now to Yerushalayim. Vatavo osi Yerushalayim, we're bringing him to Yerushalayim, b'maros Elokim, in this vision from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where was he brought to? El Pesach Shar HaPnimis, he was brought to the inner gates. Now, Rashi in Daniel tells us this was the Shar of the Azorah, Shehipnimis L'Harabayis, that's the next words in the Pasuk, Kaponet Sofona, that's turning inwards towards the Harabayis. V'hoyu lo sharim l'chol ruchosel, and it had gates around it on all sides. We turn to Ayin Zayin Omer Aleph, Asher Shom Moshav Seimel HaKino HaMakne. Rashi Nicheskel tells us, again, that this is Tzuras HaKino Makne. What does this mean? It's Maknit LaKodesh Baruch Hu. This was angering HaKodesh Baruch Hu. It was making HaKodesh Baruch Hu upset, Kaviyocho. Shinasua Shom LaHaknos LaKodesh Baruch Hu. They bedavka put this there to anger HaKodesh Baruch Hu. And Rashi there in Yechezkel brings down the Targum Yerushalmi that says that the word Tselem Dikna Osa means the Meragzin. It angers HaKodesh Baruch Hu. So this all was done to anger HaKodesh Baruch Hu, what these Zakenim were doing. And furthermore, the pasuk continues, Vayavei osi el chatzar beis Hashem apnimis. He, Daniel, is brought via this imagery to Yerushalayim, into the inner courtyard, beis Hashem apnimis. And he's brought all the way to Pesach, v'nei Pesach Heichal Hashem, bein ulam v'mizbeach. So he's brought in front of the Heichal, and he's standing in the area right before the ulam, which is the entranceway into the Heichal, and the mizbeach, which was, we learned a little bit more, east from that point, and he's standing over there, and he sees Ke'esrim Chamisha Ish. He sees another 25 men who are facing away from the Heichal. Their behinds are towards the Heichal, and they're facing east in the other direction. Achoreim El Heichal Hashem. Their backs, their behinds are towards the Heichal. Upneim Kedma, and they're turning with their faces east. Now, the Hema, Now, the word that we have is mishtachadim, but it says that the girsa in the pasuk and brought down by the Masoras Hashas should be mishtachavisem, kedma l'shemesh, and they're bowing towards the sun with their backs to the heichel, and they're bowing towards the sun in the east. Now, what does exactly this mean? The Gemara asks me, mashma shenemar, from the fact that it tells us upneim kedma that their faces were towards the east. Don't I know any yodea shachoreim l'heichel Hashem that their backs are towards the heichel? Obviously, if you're facing east, then your back is going to be facing west. So why does the pasuk tell me that? It seems to be extraneous. What's the purpose of telling me that their backs are towards Hashem? So the Gemara tells us this was a horrible thing that they were doing. That they revealed themselves. Rashi in Sukkah tells us that it means, porin means magalin. They basically revealed themselves. They took off their clothing and their bare behinds were facing towards the heichel and Hayu matrizin. Rashi and Sukkah also tells us that that means that they basically defecated klape mata towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We use a euphemism here, not klape mala, but we say klape mata. In the Gemara and Sukkah, it actually says klape mala. So they were doing a horrific thing. They were basically defecating towards the Heichal. They're bowing towards the sun in the east, and they're defecating, they're being matrizin, klape the Heichal. And Amu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Michael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very upset, Kavi Yochel, and he says to the Malach, Michael, Sorcha Umosecha, your nation, in other words, the Jewish people, have sinned, have done a terrible sircha, have done a terrible, terrible action over here, and therefore, Amu HaFalach, Michael said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, Dayo Letovim Shvem. Okay, these people are very bad, but at least there's some good people. So spare the good people. Don't wipe out all of Klal Yisrael. Ribbono Shel Olam, Dayo Letovim Shvem. At least save the good ones there. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Amalo, no. Anisorif Osam V'latovim Shvem. I'm going to burn all of them, including the good ones. Now, why should the good ones be punished? So the Tosfos Yerushalmi says over here, Lefi Shalom Michu. Because they didn't protest. Kidamrinam. They have the potential to protest. If they had protested, maybe it would work, maybe it wouldn't have worked, but they would have done their job of protesting. And the fact that they stood silently while this horrific debasement of the Heichel and of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was underway, and they didn't say anything, so therefore they were punished as well. And therefore, Miyad, instantly. Vayomer. Now the gear that we have is La'ish, but the real pasuk is Vayomer El Ha'ish, Levush Habadim. Rashi explains in top Rashi over here, Levush Habadim, that's Gavriel, and Vayomer. And he says, Bo El Beinos La Galgal, go to this place called Galgal, go near it, and El Tachas La Kruv, go right beneath the Kruv. Now the Mefarshim explained that Galgal and Kruv are various types of angels. So go in between these angels and go and take Umale Chofnecha, go and fill your hands, Gachliesh, filled with coals, Mibenos Lakruvim, from in between this area of the Kruvim. And take these coals that are found amongst these Malachim over there, and Uzrok Aluir, and throw it on the city, and that will destroy the city. So Gavriel came, Vayovo Lienoi. So Gabriel came in, and Adoniel is watching all of this. Miyad, instantly, Vayishlach HaKruv Siodo Mibenos LaKruvim. And instead of Gabriel directly taking it, he took the coals that he was told to take from the hands of one of the Kruvim. Eloesha Shebenos HaKruvim. So one of these Malachim called the Kruvim passed the coals to the Malach Gabriel, Vayisov Yitain El Chofne Levush Habadim, and passed these coals into the hands of Gabriel. Now, Gabriel didn't go and take the coals himself, which we'll see is why he was punished and why ultimately he comes back, which gets us around to the initial words that we started off this whole discussion, this very interesting Agadah to Gemara. We started off today's shir. What does it mean, my Vanibasi Bidvarecha? I came back because of you. Gabriel is going to be punished for not doing this directly, but he's ultimately going to come back when he praises Daniel. In any event, Gabriel gets the coals in his hands from one of these Kruvim, Vayikach Vayetz, and he takes the coals, and he goes out, and he throws them on the city. Now, Amar Reb Chana Bar Bizna, Amar Rabbi Shimon Chasida, Reb Chana Bar Bizna said the name of Rabbi Shimon Chasida, Ilmale lo nitztanenu gecholim, yodosho kruv, if it wasn't for the fact that the coals, which were boiling hot, had cooled off a little bit when they went from the hands of the Krug, Liado Shel Gavriel, into the hands of Gavriel, Lo Nishtayu Misoneim Shel Yisrael Sorid Upolid. That not even a single person of the, again, we always use the euphemism, Soneim Shel Yisrael, when we talk about something bad for Klai Yisrael. So if it wasn't for the fact that these coals had cooled off a little bit by the transfer from the Krug to Gavriel, rather than Gavriel taking them himself and then throwing them on the city, not a single person from Klai Yisrael, Lo Nishtayu Misoneim Shel Yisrael Sorid Upolid, not even a single person would have been able to survive this destruction. The Pasuk further says, all of these are psukim from Yecheskel, and it tells us further that the Nehaish Lavush Habadim, this Gavriel, he's called the Lavush Habadim, Asher HaKeses B'Mosdav, he has some sort of a Keses, bow, B'Mosdav, in his waist. Meshiv Dovalemor says, furthermore, Asisik Asher Tzivisoni, that's the Girsa that we have, but the Pasuk instead has the Girsa Kichol Asher Tzivisoni. In any event, Amar Yochanan or Yochanan says about this, the Osa Shah at that moment, Hotziu LeGavriel Mechore Pargur. They removed Gavriel from being in the presence of the Shechina. They took him outside this Pargot, this area where the Shechina's presence is most strongly felt, and they took him outside, and Machyuhu Shisin Pulse Denura, and they gave him Malkus. They gave him Malkus with 60 Pulse Denura, rods of fire. Now, Eitz Yosef brings out an interesting idea. Why 60? Normally Malkus is 39. So he brings down that normally Malkus is 39 because we give three times the amount of the age of the person at the age that they become Roy to be punished. So a Beis Din is allowed to give Malkus, a person is considered a Gadol, at the age of 13. So we go three times 13. But in Dinei Shamayim, person is only considered Roy to get Malkus when he reaches the age of 20. So therefore, 3 times 20 is 60. So that's where we get this idea of 60 Malkus. Okay. In any event, they give Gavriel this Malkus, and Amrulei, and they say to Gavriel, Ilo avadita, lo avadita. If you had done nothing, so again, we could understand, as Rashi points out, we could have held you as doing the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by not doing what he said, because you're saying, Docha hu esadover, ulai yoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu mecharono, v'yisratzalhem. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu would, his anger would abate, kaviyochol, and then he would be happy that you didn't throw the fire at the city. So therefore, if you hadn't done anything, if you hadn't taken the coals, the fire, and thrown it at the city at all, so it wouldn't have been so terrible. But the fact that you went and did it, if you went and did it, amai lo avadit kid pak duch, why didn't you do it the way you were supposed to? You were told to take the coast, not to take it from the hands of the crew. So therefore, you get punished for not following. If you'd done nothing, we could have maybe gotten away with it, because you could say, I'll wait till HaKadosh Baruch Hu is anger abates, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy that you didn't do it. But the fact that you did it, but you did it wrong, there's no excuse for that. And furthermore, v'od davadit, you did it, and then you said you did it exactly as you were instructed. Kechol asher tzivisani, or kasher tzivisani, but leslach ein meshivim ala kalkala. So why did you tell us that you did it when, A, number one, you didn't do it exactly like you're supposed to, and number two, you don't go and tell us you did a bad deed? Enough that you did it. Why you have to come back and tell us that you did it exactly as you were told that you did it, which wasn't even the case? So Gavriel, so to say, loses his position of great status. And instead, they replace him. Again, this more is very difficult to understand. Aisua le Dubiel. They brought in Dubiel. Who is Dubiel? He's Sora de Parsoi. He is the angel that's in charge or over the nation of the Persians, the Parsoi. Va'okbe, and they place him, they stand him up, the Charike, in Gavriel's slot. In other words, Vimkomo, Rashi says, and therefore, he is the new Gavriel. And Dubiel takes his place, and he is serving, so to say, in this place of Ukme v'charike v'shimesh esrim v'echod yom, and he's serving for 21 days. And this is what the pasuk in Daniel means when it says v'hainu d'siv v'sar malchus paras omed leneged esrim v'echod yom. This is what Daniel says when he saw that the Dubiel, the malach of paras, was serving or standing opposite Omed Lenegdi Esrim V'Echod Yom. Then furthermore, the Pasuk says, Yinei Michael Achad Asar Marishonim Bol Yazreini, and along comes Michael, one of the earlier angels, comes to help me, V'ani Nosarti Shom Eitzel Malchei Paras, and I remain there, standing alone besides the Melech of Paras. Now, during this mini rain that Dubiel had for the 21 days, Yahavule Esrim v'chad malche uparvosa demashig, in each of those 21 days, he was given a kingdom. So he was over 21 kingdoms. And also he was given parvosa. Parvosa means the port city, Namol, Rashi says, Shekorim port, of a place called Mashig. Rashi in Divrei Hayom says that this Mashig is a Namol Shomalucha. It was a port city of the king. We continue this strange vision, and it says, Omar, Ksivu Lili Yisrael Biachraga, and this Dubiel says, I want all the Jewish people to have to pay me a head tax. Achraga is Kesef Gul Gilosa, Rashi tells us. In other words, a head tax. And they have to pay it. And Ksuvule, so they wrote it for him. And then he said, Ksivu Lili Rabbanon Biachraga, not only should the plain people have to pay, but he also want the Rabbanim to have to pay the head tax. Sometimes the Rabbanim were exempt from having to pay these head taxes, so Kisvule, so they wrote it down for him as well. Now, Beidna de Boru Lemichtam, at the time that they wanted to sign the decree, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyochu signed the decree, so Amad Gavriel, Gavriel gets up, Me'achori HaPargo, from the other side of the Pargo, the Omer, and he says, no, Shav Lochem Mashkime Kum, all of you people that are getting up early in the morning, it's for naught. Ma'achrei Sheves Ochle Lechem Huatzovim, you stay up late and you eat this bread that is bread of atzovim, of sad people, of difficult times. Kitein Lidido Shena. Because the reason why you won't be successful is because Iliadido Shena, he gives to his loved ones sleep. What does that mean? So my ki king yitain lidido shena. What does that mean? So Rabbi Yitzchak, Elun Shosein Shaltini de Chachamim, that this won't work because the wives of the Talmid de Chachamim stay up to keep their husbands company after they come home from the base medrash. They can go to sleep, but they stay up to be with their husbands. Sheminadidos Shena Bolomazeh, they remove the sleep from their eyes. They want to go to sleep, but no, they stay up to be with their husbands when they come home from the base medrash, and therefore Vizochos the Olam Haba. That is the great merit that they have for the future world, the Olam Haba. The Gemara in Brachos tells us a similar idea, that men, they get the schar for studying Torah. That's their ticket to the Olam Haba. But women who don't have the chiyuv to study Torah, what's their ticket to the Olam Haba? So the answer is that they support their husbands in the learning of the Torah. They stay up to be with them when they come home late from the Beis Medrash. They take care of the whole house. So that's the zechus that the women have. So zechus li Olam Haba. So therefore, you won't be successful. Furthermore, the Gemara says that they didn't listen to Gabriel. So Gabriel says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Im Yiyu Kol Chachmei Umos Olam Bekap Moznayim. If we were to go put all the, quote, wise people, the Chachmei Umos Olam, into one side of a balanced scale, into one ladle on a balanced scale, the Daniel, Ish Chamudos, Bekap Shnia, and you were to put the great Daniel, who's known as the Ish Chamudos, we said, very, very loved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the other side of the balance scale, which side would weigh down? Lo Nimtzo Machrias Kulam, wouldn't he weigh down? He's worth more than, weighs more, so to say, than all the other Chachmei Umos HaOlam. So Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mi Uzeh Shemalam Yitzchus HaBonai, who is this that is coming now, this Gavriel, who are you coming now to go and defend Klai Yisrael? So Amar Lefano, so the angels that were in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Kaviyochol, Gabriel was behind the pargod, he'd been thrown out, and this voice, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu was asking, who is this voice? Ribono Shel Olam, Gavriel. So he said, this is the Malach Gavriel. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything, but this is the conversation that we're having here in this strange vision. Therefore, Amar Lahem, Yavo. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told all the angels, let Gabriel back in. Shenemar. And that's what the Pasuk, now we finally get, my, what does it mean? Vani basi bidvarecha. What is Gabriel saying that I came back inside the pargo because of your words? That's what it means over here. Because I spoke about you, Daniel, in a positive way, and I tried to save Klai Yisrael, so therefore I was brought back into the pargo. That's what it means, my, vani basi bidvarecha. Story's not fully over. Amlu Yeol. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, bring Gavriel in. And Ayeluhu, they brought him in. And also Ashkechei del Dubiel, the Nokitle Igrisa Biyode. And he saw that Dubiel was holding in his hand, it wasn't yet fully signed, the tax letter, the Kraga on the Rabbanim. So therefore, Boy Lemir Mimine, Gavriel wanted to take it from him. Below, but Dubiel swallowed it. And Ikad Yavri, others say, Michtav Haviksiva, Michtav Lo Havichasima. Some say that, as I pointed out before, that it was written, but it hadn't yet been signed. And others say, Ikad Yavri, even though it was signed, af michtam nami havi chasma, it was signed. However, when he swallowed it, kidabale machak lemine, the swallowing action erased the signature, and therefore hainu the machus of the press. That's why in the kingdom of the Parsium, ikad yav kraga, ikad lo yav kraga. That's why some pay tax and some don't pay this head tax, because this document saying that the rabbis would have to pay was never fully signed. Okay, again, a very esoteric Gemara. We just read the words without really having a deep understanding of it. But very interesting story. Bottom line is, the Gemara concludes and says, V'niyotze v'nei sar yovenba. Pasuk in Daniel tells us that, as Rashi explains, now would come the time, kishigiyas man malchus yoven lavo, so it was the time for Persia to no longer be the head, so to say, and now was the time for Yoven to come. V'niyotze v'nei sar yovenba. So, while Gabriel is, so to say, fighting with Dubia, he sees that the Sar Yoven is coming inside, and he says, "Ay, stop him, Ave, Ave." But Veleka the Ashkach Bey, he wants to stop him from coming in. He's again defending Chayso that they shouldn't fall under the subjugation now of the Yavanim, but it was to no avail. Veleka the Ashkach Bey, nobody listened to him. So Rashi says, "Oi, oi, tzok v'tzovach Gabriel alzos shlo yimshlu malchi Yoven b'Yisrael." Gabriel tried to stop the ultimate subjugation of the Yavanim of Klal Yisrael, but was unsuccessful. Okay, we finished this esoteric darshaning of the psukim from both Daniel and Yecheskel. And we go back to darshaning a little bit more about the Chamesh Inuyim, the five afflictions. So we had given reasons for these five afflictions. Now we give an alternate reason. Or if you want to say, the way do we know that Rechitz is not allowed? Before we'd given down the five times it mentioned the five Inuyim. So here it tells us now, Rechitza, the Ikri Inuyim Inolan. How do we know that Rechitza is one of those five Inuyim? We had the Psukim to tell us that they're five Inuyim, but how do we know that Rechitza is one of them? So the Gemara says, Mehocha, from the following Psukim, Dechsib, it says, these are Psukim from Melachim Aleph, where it deals with after David HaMelech dies, so he tells Shlomo to take care of certain business that was left unfinished. There were certain people that had assisted David, and he tells Shlomo to make sure you take good care of them. And then there were certain people that had been parts of the rebellions against David, and therefore he told Shlomo to make sure you take care of them in the appropriate way. So the pasuk says, "Dichsev ulev Yosar Kohen Amar Hamelech." Shlomo Hamelech tells Evyasar Kohen. Now Evyasar had been originally a good Kohen. He stood by David's side during the rebellion of Avshalom, but towards the end of David's life, when Adoniyahu rebelled, he went with Adoniyahu. So Shlomo HaMelech doesn't want to kill Evyasar, but he just sends him into exile. So he tells him, Anasos lech al sodecha. Go back to your home in Anasos. You really deserve to die because you rebelled against my father, against David HaMelech, by siding with Adoniyahu. However, I won't kill you today. Because you were a good Kohen Gadol at the time when there was a rebellion from Avshalom, so you stayed with my father and you went with the Aron Hashem before David. And here's the key words why we're bringing this in here, because you had Eno, you afflicted yourself. Anything that my father was afflicted with, you joined in his affliction, you stayed with him, and therefore I'm not going to kill you today, I'll just let you go into Golus. Now, what type of affliction is this? So another passage, this one from Shmuel Beis, tells us that it says about David, that what afflictions did he have during this fight or flight from Avshalom? Ki amru am ra'ev va'yev v'tzomei ba'midbar. The people were these three things. They were hungry, ra'ev, ayev, tired, and tzomei, and thirsty. Now, what does this mean? So the Gemara tells us ra'ev means that they were starving. They didn't have bread, milechem. V'tzomei, they didn't have water, mimayim. So those two are obvious. But what does ayev mean? Ayev mimay. What were they ayev from? Doesn't mean the fact they were tired was because they didn't wash themselves. Lav mirechitza. We find that you're tired. A person is tired. He takes a nice hot shower, so he invigorates himself. So therefore, they were tired because they hadn't yet washed themselves. Lav mirechitza. So therefore, we see that the inui of ayef is referring to the inui of rechitza. Ah, here's the source that rechitza is one of the inuyim. Moses, who says, V'dilmo minila sasando. Maybe they were tired because they weren't wearing shoes. They were running away, so they weren't wearing shoes. So, Elam or Yitzchok, you're right. You can't prove from here that it means, the Oyef means definitely Rechitza, but you can bring it for the following pasuk, Nihacha. It says, Mayim Korim Al Nefesh Ayefa. In Mishle, it tells us that the cold water, mayim karim, go al nefesh ayefa. They go and restore, reinvigorate a tired nefesh. So you see that washing invigorates a person, and therefore the lack of washing is an inui. So again, the Gemara says, who says this pasuk initially is telling us that it's talking about rechitza? V'dilma mishasiyah. Maybe it's all about drinking. Gemara says it doesn't say that. Miksiv bi nefesh ayefa, that the mayim karim go into the nefesh, bi nefesh ayefa. No, it says al, on the nefesh ayefa, which implies rechitza. And therefore, this is the source that rechitza is an inui. We prove that. The next inoy, ni'ilas asandal minolon. How do we know that that's considered an affliction? How do we know that that's considered one of the five inuyim? So here we also have a pasuk d'chsev. And this pasuk is also from Shmuel Beis. And it says, v'david oled b'mali hazesim. David's going up harazesim, the Mount Olives. And ole uboche, he's going up there, he's crying. V'rosho lo chofui. Now the word that we have is v'holach, but it really should be v'hu holech yochev. So he's very upset, he's crying, and his head is covered, rosho lo chofui, but his feet, v'hu holech yochev, he's walking barefoot. Now, yochev mimai, what does it mean that he's walking barefoot? La, doesn't mean minilas and sandal, he's not wearing shoes. And you see that he's upset, and that this is a difficult time for him, so this is an inoy that he's walking barefoot. Where it says again, v'dilma misusya umartika, maybe it means that he doesn't have the normal accoutrements that a king goes with. The king always travels by his sus. He doesn't walk, and he doesn't have his horse. And maybe that's what it means that he's walking barefoot. In other words, he's not going, riding on his horse, and the marketer means the whip that he goes and uses to spur the horse on. As Rashi says, marketer is shot hasus, the whip for the horse. So maybe that's what it means, yochef, and not wearing shoes. Someone says, Taka, you're right, you can't prove it from there. Again, El Omer of Nachman Yitzhak, Rav Nachman Yitzhak tells us this is the source. Where do we see the word Yochef means barefoot? So this is a pasuk in Yeshaya. And the pasuk says, Lech ufitachto hasak mial musnecha, go and take off the sackcloth that you're wearing from your waist, v'nalcha tachlots mial raglecha, and go and take off the shoes that you're wearing on your feet. So therefore, Ksiv, it says afterwards, Vayas Kain, Haloch Arom V'yochev. And therefore, Yeshaya went without his sackcloth, Arom, naked. Gemara will explain what this means in a second. V'yochev. And he went barefoot. Now, doesn't mean Yochev, Mimai, La Minilis Asanda. Doesn't mean that he walked without shoes. You see that this is an inui. Gemara says, no. Maybe it means that he just wasn't wearing a regular full shoe. Ella the Emo Bimin Olim Hamituloim, that he put on some sort of a shoe that had patches on it. Mituloim means a patch. So therefore, he was wearing shoes, and you can't tell me that this means that the inui is Nila Sasando. Maybe it just means that he wasn't wearing good shoes. He was wearing patch shoes. And I'll show you that this is right, because the Ilo Temahochi, if you're gonna tell me that he went barefoot, does that mean that when it says Arom, he really went Arom Mamish? That he went totally naked? Do we really think that Yeshaya Navi went around totally naked without any shoes, without any clothing? Ella, what must you say? Ella, the Begodim Beluyim. He went around with worn-out clothing. He didn't wear his good clothing. He wore worn-out clothing. So, too, he didn't wear his good shoes. He wore worn-out shoes. He wore patched shoes. So, therefore, you can't bring me your right from here that Yochet means barefoot. So it says, Taki, you're right. Elomer Nachman Yitzhak. So, Nachman Yitzhak gives us this pasuk, and he tells us, Mehocha. It's from the following pasuk, which is found in Yirmiyahu. And it says, Min'i raglech miyochef ugronech mitzima. He says, don't go and put shoes on your feet, right? Min'i raglech miyochef, you should go barefoot, and ugronech mitzima, and don't drink anything. So, min'i atzmech minachet. Now, this is homiletically darshan over here, is don't do any sins. Kidei shelo yavo raglech lidei yichov, that you shouldn't end up walking barefoot, that you won't be punished by going into Golus, and the people going into Golus went barefoot into Golus. So now, mini lishonech midvarim betelim, and likewise, don't say all sorts of unnecessary things with your mouth. In other words, lashon hara and things that are of no value, non-Torah learning, non-value type of speech. Kidei shelo yavo gironech lidei tzima, that you shouldn't end up going into galus. In other words, don't do these sins, so you shouldn't end up being barefoot, and you shouldn't end up being thirsty. Now, you clearly see from here that the word yochev means walking without shoes. So that's how we know that this is the inui of nilas asanda. Fine. The last of the five inuyim, Tashvish Amita, the Ikre Inuy Minolon. How do we know that Tashvish Amita is also called one of the inuyim? So here we have a pasuk from Chumash, Dechsev. when Laban tells Yaakov, you better take good care of my daughters, Rachel and Leah, im ta'ane es bidosai, if you are going to give them inoy, which we'll see in a moment what that means, vim tikach noshim, or if you go take additional wives in addition to them, so then you're going to be in trouble. And we turn to ayin zayin amid beis. What does it mean? Im ta'ane, it means if you're going to cause an inoy affliction to my daughters, that means that you're going to not have tashvish with them. As Rashi says, lahashbish onoson, you won't have tashvish with them at the appropriate times. Again, in halacha, in Judaism, we view tashmish as not being something that the man just does for his own pleasure and the woman goes along with it, but we view it as this is a right of the woman to have tashmish, and there are certain requirements or obligations that the husband has to his wife, if she, of course, wants to have tashmish. So if Laban tells Yaakov, im ta'ane means if you're going to not fulfill your obligations and afflict them by not having tashmish. And then it says, v'im tikach mitzaros, or if you will take additional wives to them. I don't want you to take additional wives. So therefore, that's where we see that the lashon of inoy is a reference to tashmish amita. By not having tashmish amita, that's an affliction. The Gemara says, how do you know that? V'ema idi v'idi mitzaros. Maybe both of them, it means if you take additional wives. Im ta'ane means if you will raise the current shivchos, Bila and Zilpa, to be full-fledged wives. Maybe that's what it means, im ta'aneh. And then, vim tikach mitzaros, means you'll take additional wives. Maybe that's what it means. Gemara says, no. Mikasiv im tikach, does it say, if you will take, meaning that it continues? It says, no. Ve im tikach siv, implying that it's totally a different idea. So, ta'aneh means tashmish, and the im tikach means additional wives. Gemara says, no. The Ema, maybe you could still say Idi Vidi Mitzaros. If both of them are talking about Tzaros. Chad L'Tzaros the day, the Chad L'Tzaros the Oshon Lemi Alma. No, maybe it does mean, like I said before, that he'll go and elevate the Bila and Zilpa to be full-fledged wives, or that you'll take new wives. That's Mi Alma from elsewhere. So, no, you could darshan it the way that we said. Shmuel says, no. Miksiv im tikach v'im ta'aneh. Does it say it in the order that you suggested, if you will take these wives or take new wives? No, it says im ta'aneh v'im tikach. So the stronger lashon ta'aneh is first ksiv, and therefore that's not talking about taking a new tzara, a new wife. That really means im ta'aneh from tashmish. And then v'im tikach mitzaros, that is a reference to other wives. So we now have sources for all of these five inuyim being referred to as inuyim. Mar says, Amalei Rav Papa Abaye. Rav Papa says to Abaye, wait a second, you're telling me that the lack of tashmish is called an inoy? Tashmish itself is called an inoy. Ha tashmish gufo ikri inoy. We see from the pasuk Nebuch, by the story where Dina was raped by Shechem, so it says, the pasuk says, Vayishkavon saw, Nebuch had relations with her, and Vayanel, and this relations with her was the affliction. And therefore, how can you tell me that the lack of tashmish is called an inoy? Tashmish is an inoy. So what's going on? So Gemara says, no, that's incorrect. Amalei. So Abaye says to Rav Papa, no. Hosom she'ina, after he slept with her, vayishkavusa, then vayaneha was mibios acheros. So there's two ways to understand this. So one way, Rashi and Chumash tells us that he slept with her twice. The first time was in a normal way, and the second time was what's called bia shalokidarka. He had relations with her, not in the normal way. And therefore, that was very painful. And that's what it's referring to, vayaneha. Alternatively, Rashi brings down a pshat over here that says that she had wanted to now sleep with Shechem again, and he withheld sleeping with her again. Once she got used to the tashmish, she wanted it, and therefore he held that back from her, and that's what the vayaneha means. In any event, we do see that tashmish hamita itself is not considered an inoy, only if it, possibly if it's done in an abnormal way, and it's the lack of tashmish that is the inoy, and that's why on Yom Kippur we refrain from having tashmish. Tana Rabbanan, the Braisa says, also lirchotz mitzas gufo b'chol kichol gufo, a person is not allowed to bathe not only his entire body, but not even part of his body. In other words, we know that on Yom Kippur you don't even wash your hands. You don't wash any part of your body, even a small part of your body, never mind the whole body. However, that's only a rechitza shel tainuk. Same thing applies to Tisha B'Av, of course, that it only is a pleasurable type of washing. That's what's forbidden. That's an inoy. However, but if your hands get dirty, so if you have filth on them, you have some sort of tit, the tit is like mud, or tzoa, some sort of excrement on your hands, so then rochitz kedaka, then you're all allowed to wash your hands. That's the hetta for a doctor working in the hospital or somebody taking care of a patient on Yom Kippur or Tisha B'Av, that they're allowed to wash their hands in order not to transmit illness to them or to get illness from them. Ve'enu choshesh, and you don't have to be concerned. This is halachically allowed. Rochets kedarko ve'enu choshesh. Then it says also losuch miktsas gufo b'chol gufo kechol gufo. Similarly, just like you're not allowed to wash even part of your body, you're not allowed to anoint even part of your body. But here the halach is different. In mayachola, here only if you're sick, not just to remove some filth. Here only if you're sick. Oh, shayu lo chatotim rosho. You have some sort of illness on your head, some sort of a rash or scabs on your head that you have to put oil on them. Then soch kidako. So for medicinal purposes, where medicine is allowed. Now, this is a separate question. Are you allowed to use medicine on Yom Kippur? So the same rules apply for medicine on Yom Kippur as they do on Shabbos. So assuming this is allowed, so then you're allowed to be soch. It's not a problem of sicha on Yom Kippur. Soch kidako. You're allowed to go and anoint yourself, put on this oil for the medicinal purposes where it's allowed in the normal way. Ve'enu choshesh. You don't have to be concerned. But notice, there's a difference between rechitza and sicha. Sicha, as long as it's not shaltainuk, you're allowed to do it. But sicha specifically has to be for medicinal purposes that, again, are allowed. Tana de Menashe, they learned the base Medrash of Menashe the following. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, they said that Rav Shimon Gamliel taught them, Medicha isha yodo achas b'mayim v'nosenes pasal tinok, that before a woman gives her child to eat on Yom Kippur, the child are allowed to eat, amachoyiv to eat on Yom Kippur, so she should wash her hands before she gives the bread to her child to eat. V'no chasheshes, and that's not a concern, because again, it's not a rechitza shel tinok, there's a rechitza for medicinal type of a purpose, that you don't want to get the child sick. If you don't wash your hands, so you can get the child sick. So Amar Lova Shammai Azokin. Shammai Azokin didn't want to follow this rule. Shelo rotzel lahachol b'yodo achas. He didn't want to go feed the child with any of his hands because he didn't want to wash his hands. However, because Rav Lahachol b'shteyadai, so he said, no, you got to wash both your hands and feed the child with both your hands, because again, this is a dangerous thing if you don't wash your hands before you feed the child. Why is it dangerous? My timer. So I'm going to buy it. Mishum shifta. What is the shifta? So in the Tosos, Mishum shifta, he tells us Pirish Rashi that it's Ruach Ra Hashore al Yadayim. This is like the tumma that is on somebody's hands. Shalom nitlon shachris. When you didn't wash Negobas in the morning, so that tumma stays there. And if you don't wash your hands, so then this tumma could adversely affect the child. On the other hand, he brings out Rabbeinu Tamma Farish, the below Nitzinas Pas Latinok Muto Lito Yodov Shachris B'Yom Kippur. He says, wait a second, you're allowed to wash hands Negovasa even if you're not giving food to a child. The Lo Gora Mi Lichluchis Betit Ubitsoa. This is no different than if your hands get dirty. Here your hands are spiritually dirty. What does it make if it's physically dirty or spiritually dirty? So you'd be allowed to do this anyway. Because Damina Shirochitz Kidarko, the halach is that you wash your hands Negovasa normally in the morning. Okay, some only wash it up to the knuckles rather than washing it all the way up to the wrist. Ve'enu choshesh, and that's allowed, that's not a problem. Ve'enu chomeluch betit ubitsoa yoter mizeh shalonot hayod v'shachris shenu rosh aliga lepiv ulchotmo li'ozno v'le'enov. As the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, in Shmona Shvatzim, that a person has to wash his hands negovas in the morning. If he touches any of the orifices in his body, it's going to be trouble for him. And therefore, he's allowed to do this, even if you don't feed a child. So what's this mishum shifta? So Rabbeinu Tam says, mishum bas melech v'shifta. This is something else. Sheshora ala ochel kishabolitim pasletinok. There is a certain shade that comes over here, and that when you feed a young child in dalad heishanim, the chonkoso kirachmo will slan die. So whether this is a germ, whether it's talking about bacteria on your hands, like we would say, that's why you wash your hands before you give somebody food, before you prepare food, or whether it's this more metaphysical idea, that's why you're allowed to go and wash your hands. More continues in the discussion. It says, Tana Rabbanan, we learn the following braisa. Haholich lahakpil pnei ovid, that the person is going on Yom Kippur to go and see his father. It's a mitzvah, always to give kibud ov aim, o pnei rabbo, or to give cover to your rebbe, and you're going to visit them. O mipnei misha goldimen, or just to go visit somebody greater than you, to say shalom aleichem to them, to go visit them. So if you have to pass through a body of water, one could argue that that's rechitza. So it tells us, no, it's not a problem to do these mitzvahs over at Savar B'mayim V'enu Choshesh. You're allowed to go up to your neck in water, and we're not concerned over here. There is no concern that you're washing yourself on Yom Kippur. Now they asked the boy Lahu, Harav Eitzel Tamid. My, what about the other way around? Not that the Talmud's visiting the Rebbe. Of course, that's allowed. That's a mitzvah. But for the Talmud to be visited by the Rebbe, is the Rebbe allowed to go and pass through the water to do that? So the Gemara says, let's bring a raya from the following. Toshma. We learned the Omer of Yitzchok Bar Chana. Rav Yitzchok Bar Chana said, I myself, Anoa Chazite, I saw that Lizire, he went, Da'oza, Legabi Rav Chia, Bar Ashi, Talmidei. I myself saw the Rebbe, Zaire, go and visit his Talmud on Yom Kippur going through water. So obviously, the Rebbe is allowed to go and visit the Talmud going through water. On the other hand, Rav Ashi disagrees. Rav Ashi Amar, no. that how Rabbi Chiya bar Ashihu, the also the Gabe Ziri Rabbe, you have the facts wrong. It was the Talmud, Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi, who went to visit the Rebbe, Zeire, and that is allowed. But you have no raya from here whether the Rebbe is allowed to go visit the Talmud. Mark Tintin says, Rava, Sharol of Ne, Avar Yamina, Rava permitted the people who lived in a place called Avar Yamina, Lemevar Bemaya, to go pass through water, Linture Peri, to go and watch their fruits. They were having to go through a body of water to get to watch their fruits, and he allowed them to do so. That wasn't considered something that was a concern, because it's not a rechitza shal tainok, and therefore it's allowed. Amalei Abaye Rava, Abaye said to Rava, Tanya Messiah, the Messiah Lok, there is a brisa that supports what you paskin that is permissible, because it says, Shomri Peros, the people who are watching the Peros, Ovinat Savarim B'mayim, they're also allowed to go up to their neck. We don't concern ourselves with rechitza. Again, rechitza, the iser is tanok, pleasure, and here they're not going for pleasure. So obviously we're talking in a situation where you are allowed to watch the fruits. There's no iser involved in watching the fruits, and they had to do this, and they had to pass through a body of water, and therefore they were allowed to do so. Rav Yosef, Sharulhu, Livnei, Bei Sarbu, Rav Yosef permitted the people who lived in a place called Bei Sarbu to also pass the water, Lameva Bamaya, Lamesi Lepirka, to go to hear the shear. The shear, they had to go across a body of water, and he allowed them to do so. That was to go to the shear. Lemezal, however, to return from the shear, lo sharalu. He didn't allow them to come back because they're no longer doing a mitzvah. So that is what Rabbi Yossi Paskin. But his Talmud, Abaye said to him, Omali Abaye said to him, Rebbe, imkena tomach shilon liyosud lovo. If people go to the shear and then they have to stay there till the end of Yom Kippur, you know what? Next time, they ain't going to go to the shear. And therefore, you're causing people, mishum sofo, if you don't allow them to come back, they're not going to go lichatchila. And therefore, the halacha is that they should be allowed to come back as well. If you want them to go, so you have to let them come back. Similarly, Ika de Amre, there's another version that had it the other way around. That in fact, Rav Yosef was the one, Sharulu Lemesi, the Sharulu Lemesa. Rav Yosef had paskin that not only could they come, but they could also go. And Abaye asked him on that. Amalei Abaye, Bishlam Lemesi, L'chai. I understand why you let them come to the Shia, because they're doing a mitzvah. However, how come you let them return? El Lemesa, my timer. So here, instead of Abaye questioning Rav Yosef, how come you don't let him come back? Here Abaye is questioning Rav Yosef, how come you do let him come back? After all, it's not a mitzvah. So here, Rav Yosef is the one that gives the answer. We permit sofon mishum tchiloson. If you don't let them come back, then they're not going to go. So Rav Yosef said, since I want them to come to the shir to do the mitzvah, if we don't let them come back, next time they're not going to come to the shir and do the mitzvah of learning Torah. Similarly, Rav Yehuda, Rav Shmuel, bar Rav Yehuda and Mestam, his son, Rav Shmuel, havukaime aguda, the Nahar. Now the gears that we have is Papa. Others have the gears of Pras. They were standing by a certain river, Amavra the Chatzdat, and it was right by the bridge that went over to a place called Chatzdat. And they saw on the other side that Rami Bar Papa was there, and Ramalu Kola. Rami Bar Papa asked him the following: Ma'u lemeva lemesa legabaychu lemishal shmaisa. Rami Bar Papa called across the river to them and asked them the following: would we be allowed to walk through the water here, assuming there was no bridge, would we be allowed to go and walk through the water to go and ask you a shaila? In other words, on Yom Kippur, is this allowed or not allowed to go through the water? Again, is it a concern of Ruchitz or not? So Amalei Rav Yehuda, yelled across the river to Rami Bar Papa, and he said, yes, Rav Ushmuel, both Rav and Shmuel, paskin this, the Amri Tavaya, they both said, over, you're allowed to go across the river. However, you have to be careful. You have to be careful that you don't end up carrying your garment, because if you don't want your garment to get wet, or you don't want it to be dirty on the bottom of the river, whatever, and you lift it up, and then you put it basically over your arm, so then you're carrying it, and that would be a problem of carrying, but it wouldn't be a problem of rechitza. Similarly, Yikud Yamre, we have a version that said, Omele Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, that it was Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, his son, who had replied to Rabbi Bar Rav Papa, Tanina, we learned in a brisa. Over, yes, you're allowed to go, but again, the same concern, it's not a concern of rechitza, but it would be a concern of carrying. You have to make sure that you don't carry the garment when you go across the river. Maskevler of Yosef, the following shayla was the answer of Yosef. We just said that you can go at Tzavor, you can go up to your Tzavor, up to your neck in the water. But now we're going to question that and say, really, are you allowed to go up to your neck? Ubechol, ki haygav demishari. Even on a weekday, the danger of walking in the water is up to your neck should not allow you to go even on a weekday. Never mind rechitza concerns on your kippur. Because the pasuk says, v'chisiv, We have a pasuk in Yecheskel that tells us, "Vayomod elef boamor vayavirenu b'mayim me'afosim." We have a famous Gemara there, which we discussed previously as well, where the waters are coming out of the Beis Hamikdash and they're flowing and getting stronger and stronger. And it says that when they went 1,000 amos, after they measured out 1,000 amos, so the water was up to their ankles. Me'afosim, afosim is ankles. Mikan shemut lavar out of sayim. So you can go up to the ankles. That is a person allowed to go on a weekday through the water. It's not a concern. It's not a pikuach. Fashu's concern. And then it says they measured out another Vayomar Elef, they measured out another 1,000 amma by Virena Bamayim Mayim Birkoim. And now the water had deepened, it had gotten more flow, and it now reached up to the knees. And that's also loud. Because that's not dangerous. Vayomar Elef, they measured out another 1,000 ammos by Vireni, and now the water reached and the water came up to their waist. And that's also allowed. So you go through waters up to your waist. But that's it. If the water goes any higher than your waist, that's not allowed. And they measured out further, and now the water was too great. And Kigo Hamayim, the Pasuk says, and we'll continue reading this Pasuk in a minute, Kigo Hamayim Mei Sochu. But here, you see that you can only go up to your waist, not up to your neck. So, Kasha, how are you telling me that on Yom Kippur you go up to your neck? On a weekday, you can't go up to your neck. So, what's the answer? So, Amar Abaye, Abaye says, no, shiny nachal. This water that's flowing out of here, this river, this nachal that's flowing out of here is different. The redeef am I, because the waters are going very, very fast. And that's why it's dangerous. And that's why you can only go up to the waist. But if the waters aren't going very, very fast, so then it's not a pikuach nefesh concern if it's going up to your neck. And then on Yom Kippur, it's not a rechitza concern because it's not rechitza shaltani. Now the Gemara continues, darshin the pasuk. It says, "Yochol yavirenu b'sichoy." You might have thought, okay, you can't go and walk across, but you'd be allowed to swim across such a body of water on a weekday. But the pasuk tells us, no, Talmud Lomar, the psukim over there in Yechezkel continue and say, as I already mentioned, "Ki go hamayim mei sochu." The waters were so fast and so rapid, so you couldn't swim across it as well. What does it mean? Mai mei sochu, these waters of swimming. So shiuta means swimming. Shekein korim l'shaita soicha. They called shaita, swimming, sayocha. So therefore, this is not able to be done because it was too dangerous. Maybe take a boat. Yocho yavirenu beburni kitana. Maybe take a little dugout. You take a little boat. A burni kitana. So Talmud Lomar, that's not allowed to be done also. Bal telech bo oni shay. We have another pasuk in Yeshaya, which tells us that you can't cross such waters even in a small boat, in an oni shayit. Oh, but a big boat, a big sailing vessel, that you'd be allowed. So the pasuk says, no, that's also not allowed, because there's a Talmud Lomar, Bitsi Adir Lo Yavrenu. You likewise can't go across it on even a big boat. It is too dangerous. Now, how do we know that these two words over here, Ani Shayit and Tzi Adir, mean a small boat and a big boat, respectively? My mashma. So here we have Rav Yosef coming to help us. Rav Yosef was blind, and he would always learn the Targum. So Kidematagim Rav Yosef, he's an expert in the Targum, as he explained the words in the Targum, that it says, Lo Tezel Be Bisfinas Tzayodin. When it says the Ani Shayit, that's translated in the Targum as Svinas Tzayodim, the trapper's boat. In other words, the people in the small little boat that they would go catch the fish. And when it says, Tse Adir, Uborni Rabasi, Lo Tigozena. So the Pasuk is translated, the Targum is Borni Rabasi, a great big boat. You wouldn't be allowed to cross even in a great big boat. Now, we continue discussing this river that comes out from the Harabayis, even the Malach HaMavis can't go across this. And it's a play on the words, because the Pasuk says, we said that you can't go out in this small boat, this Oni Shayit, but we play on the word Shayit. It says that the Malach HaMavis is also known as the Mishut Ba'aretz, the one who goes around in the world. So it's a play on the word Oni Shayit. Even the Malach HaMavis isn't allowed to go and cross this stream. It will be so strong. Furthermore, Amar Rabbi Pinchas Mishum Rav Huna Tzipora. Rabbi Pinchas said the name of Rav Huna Tzipora. He said as follows: Mayon Hayotzi Mibeis Kotchei Kadoshim. This river that's coming out from the Kotchei Kadoshim, it starts off very, very slow, very, very small. Betchila Dom El Karni Chagovim. Initially, it's only as deep as the Karni Chagovim, the antennas on the grasshoppers. Kivu Shigila Pesach Hechol, but when it reaches outside the Hechol, it reaches the Pesach of the Hechol, so it's a little bit bigger. Nasi Kuchushol Shesi. It's like the thread of the Shesi. The shesi, the Erev and the shesi are the vertical and horizontal threads of the loom, and the shesi is smaller than the Erev. So it now is as thick as the shesi. It gets a little bit further, kivin shigil ulam, it reaches the ulam, so now it's leaving the Heichal, entering into the Ulam, which is the antechamber, so then, Nasik Chushal Erev, now it's a slightly thicker Erev thread. Kivin Shigiel Pesach Azor, now it reaches the Pesach of the Azor, it gets even thicker, even bigger, Nasik Kefi Pach Kotin, it now is as wide as the Pach, the opening of a small jug. Pach Kotin, a small jug. Kefi Pach Kotin. And I know it's not, this is what we learned in the Mishnah in Midos, where it tells us, Rebbe Lezim Yaakov tells us that Mayim Mipachim, water that comes from a small jug, and we turn to Ayin Chesam and Aleph, Asidin Lios Yotzi Mitachas Mitin Abayis. The waters of that size will come out from the Harabayis. That's what it's referring to over here in this prophecy. Mikan Ve'elechayim is Gabavol, then it gets stronger and stronger and stronger, until Achimagia LePesach Beis David, until it reaches all the way to the house of David, Beis David, and when it reaches it, Kimishimia LePesach Beis David, Nasikin Nachal Shote, it becomes like an unbelievably strong flowing river, a stream that's very, very strong, Shibor Rochetzim Zovim, Vizovos, Nidos, Violdos, and people who need to have a Mayan, so they need to go in fresh water, in flowing water, so they would be able to be Matar, the Zovim, Zovos, Nidos and Yoldos, the people who have the various types of tum of Zov and Zova, or Nida, or a woman who gave birth, they would be able to immerse themselves in this body of water. Shenemar, by Yamahu Yamok or Niftach Lebeis David, this foundation will open up, or the Yoshua Yushalayim Lechatus Lenida, they'll be able to go and immerse themselves in it. Finally, Amr of Yosef, Yossi teaches from here Halacha, Mikan Remez Lenida, Shetricha Leshev at Savor B'mayim, that the Nida, he says, has to go and go up to her neck into the water. She has to go in waters that are deep up to her neck. However, but less Hilchos HaKabasi. We don't, in fact, paskin like this. Obviously, you have to immerse your whole body, but the question is, how deep does the water have to be? You can bend over and immerse yourself even in a much smaller body of water. So Rav Yosef wanted to learn from here that it has to go up to your neck, but the Halacha is not, in fact, like that. As long as the woman can immerse her entire body in the water, it is adequate in depth. With this, we conclude today's share, very esoteric share, very interesting share.